Well, today, of course, is March 25th, which means there's only 9 more shopping months till Christmas. Actually, it's the great feast day of the Annunciation, the great feast day of the Incarnation, where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As Pope Benedict said, that today is the beginning of our salvation. In salvation history, we have this message sent by God through the angel Gabriel to our Blessed Mother. As they say, that the angel Gabriel was God's ambassador. He was God's Henry Kissinger. He was sent to deliver a great message. And God was now about to become incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have here the angel Gabriel being sent by God. If you take a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says this happened in the 6th month. What is the 6th month? It was the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And now, after John the Baptist was 6 months in his mother's womb, now it was time for the Messiah to be conceived miraculously in the womb of the Blessed Virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God's ambassador, God's messenger, the angel Gabriel, descended from the heavenly throne and went to a small backwater village called Nazareth. One person would even say in Scripture, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet, the greatest good came out of Nazareth. It was where the Messiah would be conceived and where the mother of the Messiah was raised. And the angel Gabriel came to a virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Betrothals were very serious engagements. They were considered married by the common law and by the society, but they were not yet living together, of course. And came to a man, she was betrothed to a man named Joseph, and he was of the house of David. So Joseph was a descendant of royalty. They say if the Davidic throne was in place, Joseph could have been in line for the throne of David, could have been king. But it was important because the Messiah had to come from the line of David. And since Joseph was to be the foster father of Jesus, that's how the Lord, the Messiah, would be from the house of David, because Joseph would be the foster father of the Son of God. It says the virgin's name was Mary. That beautiful word, Miriam, which is really an ocean of grace. The word Miriam, Mary, means that beautiful ocean, a sea of grace. And the first thing that the angel said was, "Hail, full of grace." And this is written in New Testament Greek. This word is the only time this word is used in the entire Scriptures. It's the perfect passive tense of this verb, which means, "Oh, you who have been perfected in grace." And it indicates a completed act that is ongoing. So he reveals the beauty of Mary's soul, the purity of Mary's soul, that she is full of grace. And this grace that filled her from the first moment of her conception, that's why we call Mary the Immaculate Conception, because she was full of grace. She had no sin from the very moment of her existence due to the special act of God to protect her from being tainted by original sin. So Mary is full of grace. The word kacheritomene, "O you who have been perfected in God's grace, the Lord is with you." Notice that's different than what we say at Mass. At Mass we say, "The Lord be with you." It's a prayer asking, "May the Lord be with you." With Our Lady, it was the definitive statement, "The Lord is with you." And it says Mary was troubled, not by the presence of an angelic being. Normally people like the shepherds are just flat on their face when an angel appears to them. But Our Lady's dignity was far superior than the angel's. And so she's not troubled by an angelic presence. She's troubled about what the words mean. She was complimented by this great angel of God, Gabriel. She was troubled at this statement and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel says, "Mary, Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Yeshua, or Joshua, means God saves. So Jesus' name indicated his mission. He is the Savior of the world. And then Gabriel reveals to Our Lady that he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. So because he'll have a throne, he is a king. That means Mary would be a queen, because the mother of the king was always the queen. See, in the Old Testament, many of the kings had lots of wives. You know, Solomon, 300 wives and 700 concubines. Or as one child wrote on CCD, 700 porcupines. So because a king had many wives, the queen wasn't one of the wives, the queen was the mother, because there's only one mother. And so Mary would be the queen because she gave birth to the king. And it talks about the throne of David, his father. And his reign will be forever. His kingdom will have no end. Then Mary says, well, how can this be since I have no husband, no relations with a man? Well, she was already betrothed to Joseph. The fathers and doctors of the church say that this indicates Mary and Joseph had already made a vow of virginity, that they were going to live a celibate marriage. Our Lady had already consecrated herself to God in a life of celibacy and virginity. That's the only way that this response makes sense. How can this be, since I have no relations with a man? She'd already dedicated her life to God. Well, the angel reveals to her that she will remain a virgin, and that she will conceive the Son of God miraculously in her womb. And here we have the indication of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be the Son of God. So we have the revealing of the Blessed Trinity to this young 14 or 16-year-old girl. So we know there is the one God, and yet God is the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Most High, and the child is the Son of God. So the angel reveals to her how she will remain a virgin and yet miraculously conceive a child mystically through the power of the Holy Spirit and the overshadowing of the Most High. This word overshadow is seen in the Old Testament, where the shadow of God overshadows the Ark of the Covenant. Mary is going to be the new Ark of the Covenant. We also see this is the same word that was used at the Transfiguration when the Holy Spirit came as a cloud enveloping the Lord and his apostles. And just to prove that all this can happen, Gabriel says, your cousin Elizabeth, even despite her old age, has already conceived a son now in the 6 months. So he shows a miracle that has occurred to show that another miracle will occur, the miracle of the conception of the Son of God in her womb. And behold, nothing is impossible for God, the angel says. What is Mary's response? It should be our response as well. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Mary said, I am the servant. I am the slave of the Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, I am here to do. So Mary says, yes. Mary said, fiat. She said yes to God. Unlike Eve, who said no, Mary said yes. Eve tied the knot. Mary untied the knot. And Eve showed disobedience. Mary showed obedience. Eve was unwilling to be humble and serve. Mary was willing to call herself the slave, the servant of the Lord. At that moment, the incarnation took place. The Holy Spirit came down upon her miraculously. The child was conceived, and our salvation began. And then 9 months later, the birth of the Christ child would come into this world. But today is a great feast day, because this is when the beginning of our salvation took place.